Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Stephanie, for that reading. And again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am going to share first about the verse from Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And the first thing I had underlined in that verse was the phrase, "I urge you, brothers." It reminded me about the importance of what the Bible calls exhortation. It's part of what I'm called to do. I'm called to speak lovingly to my brothers and sisters in Christ about their growth, to share with him in the first person my experience, my strength, and my hope about how God is speaking to me, how he's working victories in my life. This is essential because we are in the community to help one another. So sharing is an essential part of me growing in my spiritual life. So I am so grateful that, again, we have places, the way technology is now, we have meetings established where we can come together and we can speak the name of Jesus and not be ashamed. And we can also speak about our abstinence, because that is extremely important for us. Later on in this verse, it talks about being holy and pleasing to God. And I know that when I was not being abstinent, I was not practicing holiness. In fact, I was practicing unholiness, okay, when I was overeating. And so in order for me to practice holiness, abstinence is essential for me. Another part of that verse, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers," and it says, "in view of God's mercy." God's grace and mercy bought my salvation. And as I remember the destruction that I was headed for, I get overwhelmed with gratitude. I was reading in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was reading one of the stories, and this particular person was speaking about how they had not hit the bottom that a lot of people had hit. But they said that if they were honest with themselves, they could see where they were heading. And I certainly know that that was true for me about the food. As a child, I was not overweight. Part of it was that because I was not allowed to have food without asking for food. And so my weight was controlled by the mere fact that I couldn't get all the food that I wanted. But as I looked back over my my childhood, I could see that I was still a compulsive eater, because when there were instances that I could have unlimited amounts, like Halloween, you know, stuff like that, or parties or whatever, I would overeat to the point most of the time of sickness. And I was always chasing the food. So even at a young age, before the weight became manifested in me, because that's what it did for me, it took me going away to college for it to really hit home. Actually, when I hit puberty, I had a hard time even controlling my weight with the limited amount I was allowed to have at home. But when I went to college, it really showed up on me, because they had an open cafeteria, and I just went crazy. I can tell you, I just went crazy. And so I know that I was headed for even more pounds than I ended up dealing with. I ended up having to deal with about 70 pounds that I had a hard time, you know, keeping off. But by the grace of God, for 22 years, he has not only kept me abstinent, but he has kept my body lean and healthy, which I'm very, very grateful for him doing that. And so I realized that I had even more weight than I could have had where I was heading if I had not found abstinence, as I did in 1987. He found me. and he saved me from even more craziness. And so I know that I have the potential inside of me to be, those types of people that that people like to talk about on the news, about the amount of weight that they have, or people who have so much weight that they can't even walk. You know, I have that potential. And so in view of God's mercy, God has been merciful to me, extremely merciful to me. He has taught me abstinence. He has given me a way to abstain. He has given me many, many supports. He has given me his Jesus. He has given me his son, Jesus, who has shown me the way of life, who has given me pleasures and peace so that I could truly and completely let go of the food and live my life day by day devoted to him, because he is my delight. There's nothing more delightful in living for the Lord. And so in view of God's mercy, he is an amazing God that he loved me so much. The Bible says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In the last part of that verse says, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And like I said before, I cannot be holy. I cannot be set apart doing the work, godly work for God today, if I am chasing and running after and eating the food compulsively like I used to do. That for me was definitely unholy behavior. And so if I am truly living out holiness, then I need to be clean and clear and committed with my food. It has to be very, very important. And this is, it says in that verse, this is your spiritual act of worship. There are two passages and verses that come to my mind. One is that in Luke 7:47, it tells the story of a woman who washes Jesus' feet with her hair. And the people who are watching, they are disgusted. They cannot believe, they would say, if he knew what type of person she was, they wouldn't allow this to happen. And Jesus says to them, he says to the owner of the house, he says, what if a man had owed so much money and another man had owed lesser money, and God and Jesus and the Lord had forgiven both of the debts. He was telling a parable, so he said, and the person had forgiven both of the debts, which one of them would be more indebted to them? And the person listening said, well, of course, the person who owed the most money, he would be the one who would have the most gratitude. And he said, well, the same is true, for this woman, and the same is true for me, that if I do not remember how much, or recall, I should say, how much he has done for me, then it would be very, very easy for me not to have that deep gratitude that is so, so important for me to have true service. My service today comes out of an overflow for the gratitude that I have for the Lord. And so it's important for me to remember what he has done for me. I need to be like that woman who washed his feet with her hair. She was so grateful for what he had done for her that she was willing to take her hair and wash his feet. And the same thing, I pray to think deeply on what he has done for me each and every day, to think deeply upon that. And I will realize that I can go to any length to serve him because of what he has done for me. Another thing that comes to my mind is in the end of that verse, it talks about the spiritual act of worship. And I remember another verse in John 5:24, And this was where Jesus was at the well. He was at the well with this Samaritan woman, and he had confronted her with her sin. She was an adulteress, and so she was trying to change the subject. And anyway, when she started talking about worshiping, and he said to her, he says that you know, that those who worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I think about that a lot of times, because I have to worship the Lord in truth. I think about that because I worship Him a lot in music, and music really, really stirs my soul. But I'm very careful that when I hear a new piece of music or a new song, I look very closely at the lyrics to make sure that they're biblical, because I don't want to be dancing around and singing and jumping around and stuff like that, and it's not biblical. And so truth is so important, you know, but the spirit too. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I have to worship, and it says here to be holy and pleasing is a spiritual act of worship. And so I cannot be jumping around talking about I love Jesus and I love Him and stuff like that, and living like the demons, you know. And so my life must be holy and pleasing to God, because this is my spiritual act of worship. And so I'm abstinent today. Yes, out of gratitude, I'm very abstinent, very grateful to be abstinent. But I'm also abstinent today because it is a spiritual act of worship. It is holy and pleasing to God for me to be this way. And so I pray for Him to keep me willing, to keep me abstinent. And I always like to take the time and say to you, those of you who come to these meetings and are part of this ministry, always keep me in your prayers to stay abstinent. I never, ever, ever want to outlive my abstinence. Neither would I want to be a poor witness to the Lord by breaking my abstinence. So pray that I am clean and clear and committed one day at a time, every day, for my abstinence. And believe me, I pray for you too, because I need you too. I need you to be abstinent. I need you to be committed. And so it's one hand washing the other. But please pray for me to stay abstinent, to stay holy and pleasing to Him. Pray for me to stay in His Word, because again, I want to worship Him in, not only in spirit, but I want to worship Him in truth. So I want to know the truth, you know, because I want that freedom that comes from knowing the truth. In the reading where it's called a living sacrifice, it talks about people who have many years of abstinence. And I belong to a group that helps me in my physical abstinence. That particular group is a secular group. But I do learn a lot from that. I take it a lot like learning from a doctor, you know, a doctor who has a talent. And I believe that many people in that room have a God-given talent, and they have been given this skill to know how to abstain, and so I learned from them. But I also see that they know how to give away what was given to them. And I realize, though, that they are motivated, as I was motivated at the beginning, because I didn't know Jesus when I first was taught how to stay abstinent by them. And so I pretty much followed what they told me in that respect. And I gave away what was given to me out of a motivation of fear. That fear was that I didn't want to lose my abstinence. You know, I didn't want to gain back my weight and, you know, to go back into the excruciation physical pain of it, what it was when I was overeating. And that motive was good, but I'm grateful for the best motive that I have today. And that best motive that I have today is to be motivated by love, the love that Jesus showed to me, and my gratitude for the change that He brought about as a result of that love. So the work that I do for the Lord is not work at all, but it's truly a joy. And so, I, as a Christian, I have been called to carry the message. And I have been called to have a purpose-driven life, you know. I have been called to know Jesus. That means that I must stay in the Word. Because the Word teaches me about Jesus. As I read the Bible, Jesus becomes clearer and clearer and closer to me. And so if you're listening and you say, you know, you don't quite understand Jesus, but you're very drawn to him, I would say stay in his Word. Stay reading his Word. Keep praying to him to open up his Word to you. Also, make sure that you have surrendered your life to him. Again, if you have no understanding of what that is about, you know, please call me. I can show you in the Bible about salvation and why it is so important. But if you already have understanding of that, I would say make sure you have taken that decisive step, that you have called out to Jesus. You have said to him, you know, I believe that you are God's son, and I believe that I cannot reach God except through you. And I surrender my life to you, to follow you no matter what. If you do that sincerely, the Bible says that, you know, that you will be born again. And not only that, the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you. And that indwelling Spirit will actually give you the wisdom and the power to live a life that is truly holy and pleasing to God. I'm going to say one other thing before I stop my time with you, the sharing time. One is that in the book, if you have the book, they have three little bullets under Digging Deeper. And that middle bullet, I think, is very, very significant, especially if you are having trouble being abstinent. You might look at that second bullet. It says, do you give God the credit for defining your abstinence and keeping you clean? Why or why not? And I think that might actually open up some understanding of the importance of clean and clear and committed back-to-back abstinence one day at a time. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask our shepherd, Stephanie, if she could share for us. Stephanie?